Thank you, Lisa. So, oh, it worked. That's great. So my purpose here, the approach I'm going to take really is not to talk about what's global, you know, global education and things like that. I'm sure you're here, you know it, you've got ideas, maybe you're doing it already. But I'm going to present this as an example of something that worked very well, talk a little bit about challenges and other issues and how we address those. Some of the things you would see are exactly what Lauren and May were talking about and how we address them and why it worked. So let me go on with the course. This is Malaysia, as you all recognize the Twin Towers in the background, and we have a somewhat of a developing country situation in the foreground. And this was shot by one of my students. The other picture is the closing ceremony of the course this year. So disclosures, I don't have any relationships to disclose. So how did this course come about? Really, I teach another core course in undergraduate public health, which is really biology and stuff like that, of public health issues. And all my life, being an MD, et cetera, I've been doing biology, clinical, and things like that. But when I was teaching this core course for undergrads 1 year, one of the online forums I'd started was social issues in infectious disease. That just exploded. I mean, there was so much of interest from the students that I said, we've got to do something about it. And I had these connections in Malaysia, so I said, why don't I start developing a course, take them, let them see the actual patient and what are the issues they deal with, and not just learn about the disease and how it's managed, what are, you know, what do you do about it, etc. Theory, I want them to get hands-on. Anyway, global education is one of the most influential means of fostering cultural awareness and actually preserving peace in the world, I think. It's one step further. Students nationwide, you all are aware that suddenly there's been this explosion of interest in international exposures. And also, another interesting phenomenon all across the nation is that students have developed increasingly a social conscience. Everywhere you see students interested in civic engagement, and this is just a challenge actually to faculty really to come up with opportunities and things. So there are benefits all around, benefits to faculty, benefits for students, benefits to sites, etc. I myself, since I have this unique role at Tulane, I deal with different populations of students, undergrads, grads, residents, medical students, etc. So I actually bring this into the classroom by getting senior students involved in talking to the undergrads, etc., or other mechanisms of making students interact. All right, why did I choose Malaysia? Malaysia is actually a country in transition. So the pictures you see of Malaysia are beautiful and it looks developed, but it has its issues. It has major issues. And in some ways, it's still developing. So it's in transition, and it's an ideal location to conduct such a course. There are several issues, especially social and political and religious issues, that play into public health, and so it was a good site. In Malaysia, you have similar yet different challenges from New Orleans, and I do have a strong collaboration in Malaysia already, having worked there for 7 years earlier. It's a comparatively safe place to take students to. And therefore, finally, this unique country and its people become a living, learning public health lab for our students to make a difference. Let's go on. Very briefly, just in case you don't know where Malaysia is, it's in Southeast Asia. This is Thailand and all this is Indonesia. It's in two parts. Malaysia is East Malaysia and West Malaysia. It's a true melting pot. I won't talk more about Malaysia, but I like this quote from the associate dean of our school who actually came over last year for a week and, you know, is very, very impressed with the course. And he loves to say this, where else in the world can you see a hospice run by a Catholic charity in a Muslim country housing Hindu and other patients? So, this course actually brings together three universities and several community partners. Tulane, of course, we are from Tulane, and then we signed an MOU with University of Malaya last year. So like the students said earlier, formal collaborations. We also signed with Fudan University in Shanghai. And so it's the three universities come together in this course. And our main collaborator, as far as NGOs go, is Malaysian AIDS Council, which is actually an umbrella organization, and it works with MOH to implement programs. It has access to 45 partner organizations, and it's a very interesting structure because all the funding goes from Malaysian AIDS Council to all the NGOs, and all the monitoring and evaluations also done by MAC. So they are the sort of caretakers of these programs. So just before I forget, I'm going to concentrate on the course, but I do have a lot of other students that travel. I have collaboration in India too. Graduate medical residents and doctoral students are the next step. Undergraduates, of course. In India, also I have a good collaboration. And because of my role as director of the MD-MPH rotation, I have several students going over for rotations. And primarily, I feel when you develop an international collaboration and when students want to go overseas, some of the real issues that come up and which I deal with it on a daily basis are one is, of course, finding funding for the student. That's another story. And secondly, you should have a very good mentor overseas, especially when medical students go, because sites overseas are very used to having students just come and rotate, you know, just observe and rotate. But you want them to actually do something which is, you know, good use of both their site and their own time. So you have to identify a good mentor. And lastly, I mean, there are several other issues, but of course, safety is another important issue. Sorry, it went backwards. Well, this is actually a video. Sorry, it's my picture there. I hate that fact, but this is a university made this. And actually, they put up this video on a website, and the first picture is the students. I don't know why when they gave me the video, it's like this, and they can't change it. So quickly, hope it plays. Okay. Well, if it's not playing, I'm going to go on. So this is from last year, day one, the Fudan students meeting the Tulane students in the background of the Twin Towers. I will not go through all these program objectives, but suffice it to say, it's like any other service learning program, you know, to actually give them a hands-on experience and, you know, become culturally competent, actually. So this course was launched last year, and with the MOU signing and the Associate Dean visit, we met with several leaders, fostering relationships. In the actual course, we have three pre-departure meetings. As soon as we make the selection of the students to go, then you have a monthly meeting that they get to meet each other, and you know, we have speakers, we do cultural competency training, we do a little bit of language vocabulary. This year we did it on the ground, actually. We had speakers, local speakers, tell them about how appropriate behavior and a little bit of language workshop, etc. So it's a 5-week program. Week one in New Orleans is as an intention. I do week one here and then take them overseas, really to build that community, because they don't know each other at that time. They get to work in group projects. It's very intense for them. It's a lot of work. In about 4 days, they have to present their projects. But it works. They get to know each other, etc. And we actually also play there's several things going on. We play a game actually developed by two medical students. It's called Social Determinants of Health. And this year my alums from last year's course came and actually facilitated that game. So the last year's alums are very much involved in the course and they love to be involved continually. So there's orientation preparation. The skills workshops in week one on counseling, they get from Office of Public Health a whole counseling session. They get a workshop on data analysis, because that's where our students really lack, is data analysis. They also get sessions on how the US systems works, issues in the US systems, NGOs, funding, etc. So that when they go overseas, very often they're asked by the NGOs there, how does this work? Does Medicare fund needle exchange programs and things like that? So then they know how to respond. The format, again, once we arrive in Malaysia, this is the format. I have a seminar course once a week that's taught at University of Malaya with several different speakers from NGOs, MOH, academia, etc. We also have student presentations in class exercises. And then we have the internship at the sites, which for undergraduates fulfills the capstone as well as the service learning requirement. That's something that Tulane requires all undergrads to have ever since Katrina. It also fulfills practicum requirement for graduate students and supplemented by other things like field trips, and they write personal reflections, which are guided reflections, which tie their service experience with what they're hearing in the seminar. We also have series of enrichment activities that, you know, like going out together, sightseeing, and other stuff that, you know, just building community. So in the classroom, on a sample day, the class could consist of Tulane graduate students, Tulane undergraduate, medical students, UM students, University of Malaya students, and Fudan students. It's an interesting mix that goes on there. These are my list of internship sites. Malaysian AIDS Councils, ICLAS is a harm reduction, a drug needle exchange program. It's a drop-in center for IVD use. Welcome Community Home is a hospice. That's the Catholic charity that was referred to earlier. Health Equity Initiative works with refugees. And again, another needle syringe exchange program. Crash Pad is for street kids. It's a big problem in Malaysia, which I never knew when I lived there. And then PT Foundation is started off as a foundation for men who have sex with men affected by HIV, but now it's branching out to all other areas. So now I'm going to quickly tell you a little bit about what the students did there, and I'll go very fast just to give you a very good, a small snapshot of what's capable, what you can do in such a course in such a short time. It gets very intense. I see some of my students here. I know it gets very intense on them. So really, we are creating a borderless world, and that's why it ties back to my earlier statement of actually promoting peace. So it's education without borders. This is a picture shot at the Malaysian AIDS Council, the umbrella organization. I'm actually trying out. Can I have water? Okay. So Health Equity Initiative, sorry about that. It's a refugee organization. It's an organization that works with refugees, mainly Afghan and Burmese refugees. It works very closely with UNHCR, that's the High Commissioner for Refugee Relief. It's also involved in policy advocacy and research. Some of the things I listed are actually projects done by my students. There's a picture of one of my students administering a questionnaire. So this was presented yesterday. So this is an outcome of the course. The students that worked with Burmese refugees and did a sex education needs assessment, because that was felt by the internship site as something they really needed. So we did that, and they presented yesterday. This very, very first time we have Tulane undergrad public health students presenting at a conference, so they're very special. This is another one today. I mean, this was done this year. This was assessing psychological needs of Afghan refugee children. I actually have taken slides from their presentations. Sometimes the language is not what I would have used, so please forgive it when they talk about the aims, etc. Okay? These are actually what they wrote. To survey 50 Afghan refugee families seeking refuge in Malaysia on the psychological needs of their children and assess those needs and provide recommendations. So they actually went door to door, different areas of Kuala Lumpur, traveled with translators, very far distances, taxi and train, etc., to survey these families. Again, the idea for the project came from the community, because the moms felt that the kids are having a lot of social and behavioral problems. So, go on. So this is briefly, there was a considerable amount of behavioral problems that they found. They used standardized mental health questionnaires for the mothers and the children. And we've got, they came up with some set of recommendations, and they are implementing some things, and the study is going to go on with bigger studies. This is the Welcome Community Home, the Catholic charity, the director giving us a little tour. This is a survey being done of the inmates. It's beautiful, beautiful. It's on a hilltop. They grow their own vegetables, etc. Nice air. It's almost like a resort. But this is where they have a lot of terminally ill HIV patients and TB patients who have been basically abandoned by their families. So they take them in and, you know, take them to their medical care and everything else. So this was a project two students doing. This is last year's student with the inmates there. Study aim was to assess the need for psychological, social, addiction, grief, and vocational counseling at Welcome Community Home. Okay, these are the actual words of my students. Okay, I won't go into all this in detail, but they nicely presented the different religion is a big part of Malaysian culture. So everything ties back to religion. They also showed us some of the interesting graphs that actually showed I feel accepted by my peers at Welcome Community Home, very high levels of acceptance, but not as high when you look at family acceptance. So really something to be worked on. They came up with a list of recommendations. Here is lunchtime at Welcome Community Home. These are peer workers who were actually inmates there, some of them. They prepare their own food, and this is prayer before meals, and you know, they have all types of religions there. They do their own prayers, etc. ICLAS Drop-In Center, the drug exchange program. This is a very interesting center. They have a place for people, drug addicts to come in, and you know, they can sleep, they get their clothes laundered, they get a hot meal, they can watch television, etc. And ICLAS also has a needle and syringe exchange program. Some of our students there. And this is a questionnaire that they did this year. I won't read all this, but one of the big issues that they were having is police drug enforcement on harm reduction, because drug use is a criminal activity in Malaysia. So it just, you know, just being involved in this program is risky for even the community health workers. So safety, and they also wanted to find out which are the, you know, new points that they need to go and exchange these needle and exchange programs. So do you feel safe from police, etc.? Not really, they don't feel. And outreach locations, they came up with two new locations that will be good, because what happens typically is once the police gets to know, this is where the drug addicts are coming, it's, you know, they're getting needle and syringe exchanges here, so they just arrest those drug addicts, so they will not come there anymore. So you need to find new locations. So you have to work with the, and you know, the situation there. And also looked at, are they interested in expanding services like voluntary HIV testing at the center? Almost everyone responded yes. Three girls on a mission. This is also, you know, slides from my students' presentations. Again, harm reduction, they're out there exchanging needles, actually working with the IV drug users. Yeah, this is another one. And they also came up with client satisfaction with different types of drugs and different types of mixtures, etc. What the drug addicts like, and you know, their sharing trends, determine hangouts, so let's suggest policy recommendations. Really, it helps the NGOs in their work. Okay, that's a sampling of the internship sites. And we had a lot of field trips. This is an interesting field trip to a border town, which is on the seaside on the east coast, Kuantan, because there's a big project being done by my collaborators there with the fishermen. This is a project with Columbia University. So what we did is we do an in-class exercise. Last year we did that. We presented the scenario of these fishermen who are out to sea for weeks at a time, nothing to do, so they inject drugs, share needles, and a snowball sampling showed about 44% were HIV positive. So we presented the scenario, made them come up with posters, educational posters, etc., and then we took them on the field trip the next day and went to the fishing jetty, and this is one of the posters they came up with, very relevant to fishermen, and then we visited the drug use harm reduction center there too, nice seafood meal, then spend the rest of the day on the beach. So that's this is another field trip, another big organization that takes in positive people, terminally ill people, etc. So briefly on the pedagogy of this, some of the innovative pedagogy, like I have an assignment, the textbook is Wisdom of Horse. I don't know if you have read this, Elizabeth Pisani's book. They actually do a debate in class, and the readings, the students actually present and facilitate discussion. They also have personal guided reflections, and then I try to have an in-class exercise followed by the experience with a field trip. Some enrichment activities like traditional dance theater, they actually took part in the dances, etc. Banana leaf lunch, they just love this. Weekend excursions, rainforest trekking, and you know, things like that. And then we end up with a closing ceremony. You honor the site staff. So my students last year got all, you know, got saris and blouses made, etc. And we honoring each site supervisor, and the students get their certificates. It's a nice way to close this the whole course. So tips, few tips on building a service-oriented academic community. This is for building that relationship with that site. Try to start on a foundation that's very strong, like a formal collaboration with an MOU would be good, but even if you can't, something like an agreement. Ensure that students work on projects of use to the site. You have to do that. Involve site supervisors from planning phase to student evaluation. So they go on right from the planning phase. I keep them involved. And the students sometimes go on after that to do more work with them. And make sure you compensate the community workers, the translators, and people that help them in the work. And I encourage students to bring along gifts. They may want to give the people at the sites. We also bring gifts from the course and invite them to your group dinners, group activities, excursions, invite the site staff. And we honor them at closing ceremony with certificates, plaques, gifts. So you lay the strong foundation and continue the collaborative. So what are my future plans? This will be used as a springboard to develop other tiers of collaboration, faculty and student exchange. We want to expand the three-way collaboration with Fudan University. And what we envision is having the graduates, the Fudan graduates that came and worked in the Malaysia course to be teaching assistants for a Fudan course that we are launching this year. So I hope that'll be interesting. Challenges requires a lot of time and effort. One, I hope my dean is not here. Okay, garnering buy-in from the university is hard. Make sure if you're going on something, make sure you know you have enough support. It's a great success, but finding my time to do this is really taking a lot of my personal time. Funding, I can't stress enough that enough. Then staff continuity. If you could have the same staff that comes along as a coordinator, that you don't have to orient them and get them used to everything again, that we don't have that yet. Hopefully I'll get something less. We have an increasing demand from students. It's getting very hard for me, even with the selection committee, to decide whom to take. All of these are wonderful students, and I know them from my previous courses. So it's so hard for me. And now I have interest from other universities wanting to send their students. So it's a challenge. Perspectives from students, a lot of them, this is their first trip outside the US. Some of them have told me it's been life-changing because they're basically social infants. And actually, this notion of the other, as the other people in other countries, begins to blur in their minds. They come back quite changed. And this is from my discussions with the students. So it doesn't end with the course. Some go on to do things like senior honors thesis, research projects, the med school rotation, and then posters, publications, etc. So one student said, this is the people that I'll always remember, not as much the beautiful sights or wonderful food. This Malaysia is famous for sights and the food, but it's the people that is. So it's a beautiful country. These are my students from last year. And that's the end of my talk. Terima kasih means thank you.